You're listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.
Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Good evening, non-football fans. I appreciate your sanctification that you forewent much of the television on this afternoon to be here with us today and with our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are going to talk today, continuing a series that began last Sunday, the month of the end of January, beginning of February, these four Sundays that have these great feast days of the church year. And they are particularly focused around people whose lives are transformed. We looked at John the Baptizer last Sunday. Today it is the Feast of the Confession of St. Peter. And I want to talk about that. It makes it sound like Peter did something wrong and he had to confess it, which is how we usually mean confession. But that is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about Peter, St. Peter, confessing, saying out loud, publicly and boldly, that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the Son of God. And that's the reading you heard in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus is asking people, his disciples, who other people think he is. What are they saying? And we get an answer. Some say you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. Others say you're the prophet Elijah, his latest incarnation, or Jeremiah, or another prophet. And then he asks that famous question, but who do you say that I am? And this is, again, where I'm supposed to make this about you. And who do you say Jesus is? And I'm supposed to say, let's come down to the altar and let's kneel and accept Jesus and rededicate our lives to Jesus. And if you want to do that, I would be happy to do that with you at the end of this service. But that's not what this passage is about. And I want to talk to you because when we make it about sort of but what you say, we miss one of the key, and I'd say the key part of what happens when you know a little bit about Peter, his life, and the Lord, and how he works with Peter. This confession of St. Peter, it is wonderful that he says that Jesus is the Messiah. On some level, he already knew. If you were here this morning, you heard when Simon, then named Simon, Jesus would later rename him Peter, when his brother Andrew has met Jesus and says, would you like to come meet somebody that has blown our minds? He's the Messiah. We found him. Come meet him. So this is not some new piece of information that Peter has received. He has known that this is the Messiah, or there's a very strong chance it's the Messiah. So don't be so impressed about Peter's answer or what you might say if I said, who do you say Jesus is? It matters who you say. As St. Paul will later write, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and you will be saved. So I do want you to confess that Jesus is Lord. Absolutely. We'll do it when we say the creed, as we do at every service here. We'll confess that we believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, the Lord. But don't make this about the fact that Peter did it or that you can do it. Because when you get into Peter's life, you find that, well, there's a lot going on. So this idea is, can we transform? That's what this sermon series is about. Can you change? Can you be a different person next year than you are right now? Are you a different person right now than you were last year or 20 years ago? Is transformation possible? Well, yes, and you see it. We read a reading from the book of Acts, chapter 4, the first reading for tonight. And we look at Peter and we see him being incredibly bold and courageous. He's someone who is something you almost never see, someone who's comfortable in their own skin. They have just healed somebody miraculously. This is in the early days of the Christian church. Jesus has died. He has risen from the dead. He has spent time with the disciples, including Peter, and he has then ascended into heaven and given the Holy Spirit at what we call the Feast of Pentecost. The believers are now empowered by this fuel of God in them. And Peter has gone from someone who denied Jesus three times when he was arrested, when Jesus really needed somebody to stick up for him. And Peter was asked three times, do you know that guy? I think you're with him. Three times he said, never seen the guy before in my life. He denied Jesus three times, went running at the key moment. And yet here in this passage, he's standing up in front of the rulers of the people and the elders. This is the powerful people of the day. This is testifying before Congress. Have you ever seen a picture of someone testifying before Congress? You see the picture of them, and they look like this, very dignified. And you might see the pictures of all the congressional representatives. And But if you see the photo of what's happening, you see a person in a little well, kind of like this one, but a wooden table in front of them, and there's about 500 photographers in front of them and television cameras. Can you imagine the pressure if there were all those cameras on you? This is what it is like to stand before the rulers and the elders. If you've ever had to defend a dissertation or answer, or go before an actual judge in a court of law, you'd be amazed the number of people that have had to do that. And the feeling that you might sense when you have been called to the principal's office or you have been pulled over by a police officer, those sorts of things. And so here is Peter standing in front of these people because he's about to get in trouble. They were told not to do anything in the name of Jesus because the elders of the temple had killed Jesus. They thought they had solved that problem, but they didn't quite get it done. And now Jesus' followers are bolder than ever, and they're healing people in public in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. So this is a real problem for them. And so they have told them not to do it. They're still doing it, and this is where Peter stands up. Look, we healed a guy. Can't help it. I had to do it. I'm commanded to do it. This is what Jesus is here to do. And he stands up with all this confidence. And he says, let it be known to all of you, rulers, elders, people, that the guy that you killed, God raised him from the dead. And you, remember, you crucified him. I mean, he's speaking that, you know, we like to say speaking truth to power, like which usually we mean just posting something spicy on social media. This is speaking truth to power. Standing up in front of these elders and saying, you crucified him, but God raised him from the dead. But by the way, the door's still open for you if you'd like to receive him and believe in him as well. He preaches that they can be saved too. And it says they're amazed at the boldness of Peter and John because they are uneducated and ordinary men. These are guys who just a few months ago were working at O'Reilly Auto Parts. And now they're testifying before Congress. What is going on? So transformation. Clearly it happens. And I'm going to tell you the three things that can transform you. Three easy steps, and here they are. Failure, grace, and God. Notice I didn't say mindfulness. I didn't say getting 8 hours of sleep. I didn't say to Marie Kondo your house. As good as those things are, that's the woman who talks about minimalism and getting rid of all your stuff. Thank you. Sharon knows, but nobody else did. The way Peter changes, the way transformation is possible, is failure. Because he confesses that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, but we know that he does not change. Because again, when the chips are down, just a few years later, he will deny that Jesus is the Messiah 3 times. It is not that hard to confess that Jesus is the Messiah. And it is his failure in that that begins to open the door. I love that Jesus says, upon this rock, Peter, you, Peter, the rock, I've named you Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. The thing, I think it's a little joke that Jesus has because this rock is very flaky. It's like limestone. I mean, you can crumble it in your hands. He's a rock, but not a very strong one. But he's about to find out who the true rock is. And you see at the end of the story, Peter does get it. Because in the Acts reading, you know, some time has passed. Peter has failed. But here in this passage, he doesn't say, I'm the rock and I'm going to do this. He says, Jesus Christ, he is the stone that was rejected by the builders and is now the chief cornerstone. Peter has come to realize that Jesus is the rock. So Peter fails. He's not a very good rock. And then he finds the grace of God. After his 3 denials of Christ, Jesus meets with him very famously and goes for a walk on the shore of the Sea of Galilee and extends grace to him. Just as Peter denied Christ 3 times, Jesus invites Peter 3 times to renew and restore his love in Christ and Christ's people. And it's a beautiful scene of forgiveness and grace and restoring Peter back into ministry after a complete failure. And Peter gets this powerful taste of grace. And at that point, once Peter has died to his own illusions of grandeur, you know, he's like the kid in the class in this Matthew 16 passage when Jesus says, who do you say I am? Peter's like, ooh, I know, pick me. You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And yes, good job, Peter. But it's only after he's done the opposite of that 3 times, he's failed and received the grace of God, that then he's open for the next step, the final step in this transformation. And we hear what it is in verse 8 of chapter 4 of Acts, the first reading you heard tonight. It's right in the first line that you heard. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said. That's how you transform. The Holy Spirit does his work in you and transforms you. It's not a self-improvement project. It's maybe not even an improvement project. It's God bringing you into reality and more of who he made you to be. A person who is beloved and knows their belovedness and knows their worth and value to God, and is someone who says to God, what we hear every evensong in the Magnificat, the Song of Mary, let it be unto me according to your word. I'm open to what you want to do, God. So Peter transforms, yes, but he transforms by failing. He transforms by receiving in that failure God's grace. And at that point, God does his work and says, now we can cook with gas. We'll fill you with the Holy Spirit. And now you will be the person that you never could be before on your own. If I may, a postscript. Because this three-step process of transformation, failure, grace, and God, is not a one-time thing. It's not once around that track and you're over. If you read further in your New Testament, you will find that the book of Galatians, it's really a short letter by St. Paul to a church in Galatia, that the reason he has to write the letter is because Peter has fallen off the wagon again. Peter went to this church of Christians, some were Jews, some were Gentiles, and he began to reinstate the rules about diet restrictions and other customs that separated Jews from Gentiles, these traditions that were obliterated in Christ because we're all forgiven, all washed in the blood, those distinctions don't matter, we can eat together, we can be this community together. And he had essentially denied that the death of God on the cross and his resurrection from the dead was enough to solve the problem of human division. Basically, he said it wasn't enough. That was enough. So you have to go eat in separate tables now again. To completely undoes the grace of God. It's like me saying, you can be forgiven for all your sins and God loves you, except, you know, it's adding conditions to God's grace. It's taking away the power of what Christ has done on the cross. And Peter does that. And Paul writes in the Galatians, remember how I was with you and I had to get up in Peter's face and tell him you've forgotten the gospel? So Peter would do this again. And he might even do it a third time if you believe some of the traditions of the church contained in the book Quo Vadis. But that's something for your home reading. My point, though, is this pattern of failure, grace, and God is not one time. It is, to quote a phrase I've heard somewhere, it is the circle of life. It is the ongoing pattern of repentance and renewal, of death and resurrection, that is the Christian life. So is transformation possible? Yes, but it is not your work. It is the work of God, and you have a whole lifetime to do it. The good news is the stakes are very low because Christ has already done it all for you, and the life that you live now is but the most momentary, effervescent, passing time that will all be gathered up at the end of all things when we are with Christ, being forgiven always and living in that reality always, not on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, but on another shore in a different light, held forever in the love of God. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for building your church on the rock of Peter, who shows us through failure, grace, and redemption, the path that we are to walk. I thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you ultimately are the chief cornerstone, the rock of Christ on which we stand, on which we are built. Help us always to return to you again and again, remembering always that you never stop drawing us to yourself. We pray this, Lord Christ, in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.